Welcome to Small Bites Radio with Donato Marino and Derek Tim. We hope you're hungry.
Raw spaghetti you can eat with a spoon. Oh, oh, SpaghettiOs.
Hit it.
Where's the beef?
Cookie.
He likes it.
Nothing for you. Nothing for you. Nothing for you.
Feed me more.
As long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans, babe.
Welcome to Wildfire Radio. I'm Donato Marino. And we also have small bites in there, too, don't we?
We have whatever you'd like, my friend.
I like the small bites part.
Yeah. Donato Marino, Small Bites Radio. Bean to barista.
Coffee service.
Yeah, let's try it this way. Let's try it this way, Don. See, we've never done this before. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Small Bites Radio. And now, Donato Marino of DNL Coffee Services, Bean to Barista, Philadelphia's premier coffee and espresso services. Don!
Welcome. That was pretty good, Derek.
You like that?
I like that.
Maybe we'll have to hire a full-fledged announcer.
We'll have to get that guy that does the time to rumble.
Let's get ready to rumble. Well, I don't think we can say that. Because that's trademarked.
Is it? Oh, never mind. Erase that part.
Let's get ready to wrestle. But how you doing, Don?
Great. Came off with a great weekend. We had our St. Patrick's Day pub crawl on March 5th in Delaware County, Pennsylvania. Tyrese 2 was one of the main bars out of 7. And I have to say, it ran well. I think people were just waiting to get out. Believe it or not, even at the end of the bus, there were well-behaved people.
That's what I like to hear.
There was a few, but for the most part.
There's always one in a crowd.
This was more like 5.
Out of 6 people. Well, everybody was Irish for a day that day, but I'm glad to hear it went well. I'm Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com. What other events we have coming up at Terry's, too, or what's a new service of DNL Coffee Services? What's happening with you?
It's hard to really say anymore because with this supply chain price crisis that we have, equipment is getting very difficult to have, or it's going to be too expensive for anybody to even get anything.
Going to have to start driving over the coffee beans to grind them.
Yeah, I'm ready to hire us.
But then again, gas is so expensive. May not want to do that either.
Yeah, I'll tell you. But everything's coming along. We're getting busy again in the restaurant industry, which is great. It's good to see the people, like I said, clamoring to go out and going to support their favorite places, having those meals that they missed. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are in the right direction. Hopefully it stays that way. I think, like you said, a lot of people have desires to go out, live a different lifestyle, live a little bit more vicariously, I would say, now that they've seen how things can change in an instant for the most part.
Yes. I agree with you 100%. I'd like to give a shout out to my wife. Her birthday's on Wednesday.
Uh-oh, look at this.
I don't want to tell her age, but she's...
It's like we're becoming a pop radio.
Over 50.
Wildfire Radio. Shout out time.
She's over 50, but under 60.
Oh, Don, she doesn't look a day over 21 to me.
That's the other wife. Ooh, oops. Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, wait till you get home. That joke's funny here, not so funny once you get home. But talking about people living vicariously, want to have a good time, want to go out and enjoy themselves, one of Philadelphia's crown cultural jewels, I would say, is the Kimmel Cultural Campus, without a doubt. Wouldn't you agree, Don?
I definitely agree. And inside there is one of the top premier restaurants in the city, and they're doing beautiful and wonderful things to help up-and-coming chefs.
And also chefs who are already have a name to help them financially for some projects that they have going on. And that's pretty much what's going on with who we're talking to tonight. We're talking with Jennifer Zavala. Everyone knows her. She's well-respected in the Philadelphia community, known globally from her Top Chef appearance. And she is the next chef-in-residency program for the Garces Family Foundation at Volvere. And her residency is going to be from March 16th to May 1st. And it's a joy. How's it going tonight, Chef Jennifer?
Hi, how are you? What an introduction.
we try here. We try.
well deserved.
It always begins well, but by the end, you'll regret talking to us, that's for sure. So for anyone who doesn't know, why don't you tell all of our listeners, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to share and talk about this opportunity at Volvere. For the very few who don't know who I am, my name is Jennifer Zavala. I am Hellraiser extraordinaire in South Philadelphia. I recently have opened up my own brick and mortar at 1941 East Passyunk Avenue called Juana Tamale. It is my love note to Philadelphia. You know, I've spent the last 15 and a half years of my life here and working in various restaurants. I opened El Camino Real in Northern Liberty. I was the sous chef at Sochi. And, you know, some of you know that I sold tamales out of a van the last like 5 or 6 years. And yes, I was on Top Chef amongst many things. And as of recently, this is a big brag for me because I'm a huge, huge football fan. This past week, I got to cook for the Philadelphia Eagles on International Women's Day. So, highlight of my career thus far until Wednesday.
That is amazing. Congratulations. And definitely was the highlight of their season, because their season wasn't any good. So that would have been the highlight of my season if I was them.
Yes, I will be a starting quarterback this year, guys. So there's hope for the team. Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. I love the dedication and the spirit for Philadelphia. See what happens when you come to Philadelphia, Don? You go all in. It doesn't matter where you come from. Once you come to Philadelphia, it was like you were born and bred here.
The opportunities are here.
It's where dreams are made out.
Right. You don't have a choice here in Philadelphia. They beat it into you to become part of this culture here, especially the sports culture.
So
huge honor.
And that's amazing. As you said, you've got a lot going on, and now you have this collaboration, this chef residency at Volvere with Chef Jose Garces, who obviously is extremely well known. How does that collaborative process work? Is it intimidating when you come into a room with someone of that caliber? I'm sure you've respected his talents and have looked up to him for his business acumen of what he's been able to do throughout the years. What is that collaborative process like?
Well, it's definitely intimidating. I used to work at Amada, actually, for a brief period of time. And this was probably at the height of Jose's Iron Chef career. So even then was an honor. And to come around full circle, it's still as intimidating as it was to work there. But I will say his staff and what they have going on there has taken all that intimidation away. It has been such an amazing process and experience, and to see my food collaborated and interpreted through him has been, you know, it's been wild. I'm truly blessed. They are definitely way more professional than me, so that has been, it's been a learning experience as well. It's been a learning experience as well. So, as a matter of fact, today we just had the staff tasting where we went through all the items on the menu, and I could talk about talk about each dish. And their staff is just phenomenal over there. And I feel very supported and very welcome in their company.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, definitely. We want to hear some of these dishes you have prepared and tell us about them, because that is one of the things that you are most well known for, is amazing dishes that you put out, especially how authentic a lot of your dishes are. So yeah, shine some light on what's some of the dishes that we can be prepared for when we go.
Sure. So one of my absolute, I mean, my business name is Juana Tamale. So I'm incredibly honored to be able to share my tamale, my take on a tamale through Garces. So one of the highlights of that is, you know, Pennsylvania is the third largest producer of corn. And I have connected with a seed company that has grown 8 acres of Oaxacan green corn for me. So to use that corn on my tamale dish that I'll be offering, which is like a third or fourth course, is pretty awesome, and it looks really beautiful. It's not like what most people would expect of me and when it comes to a tamale, so I'm really, that's probably one of my favorite dishes that I'm really excited to share. And the other thing that was, you know, that probably brought me the most joy, because it really tickled me to have to ask their extremely talented pastry chef to create this, was in Mexican food, Mexican culture, Mexican parties, quinceañeras, you name it, there is always Jell-O. And it's not like, you know, Jell-O salads, like let's say like, you know, America has like in the, you know, in the 70s, it is mosaic Jell-Os, which are different kinds of Jell-Os that are very beautiful together. And with their pastry chef, Marcos, I was able to create this mosaic Jell-O that looks a lot like the mosaics that you see around Philadelphia by Isaiah Zagar. So seeing that on the plate today, I really kind of teared up a little bit, and the staff was extremely excited to experience that. And to see it in the Kimmel Center and to be able to see it in that environment was really heartwarming. And it's those two dishes are probably the highlights for me that I'm really, really, really excited to share with people, because I also don't think they would expect, one, anything like that from me, and I don't think anyone was expecting to see Jell-O on the Volvere menu. So it's been quite the experience, for sure.
That's amazing. And I think that you keep mentioning people may not expect that from you, but I have a feeling some people do, because the expectation for me personally is anything that you're putting out is going to be delicious, and everything you've mentioned sounds like it's going to be fantastic. But one of the big opportunities of this chef residency is that guests can leave donations that are matched by the Garces Foundation. Where will the donations go towards, and what programs will you be working with for this residency?
That's a great question. So that is, you know, probably the best part of all of this, and really one of the most inspiring things that I'm absorbing from Chef Garces. You know, to be given this opportunity to come into his platform, into his restaurant, and, you know, one, share my food, but to also share his feelings towards community has been really inspiring to me, and I want to do the same. So I think all of us, every single one of us in every single neighborhood, are very aware and concerned about the situations that continuously happen in the city when it comes to gun violence. And, you know, no one is not affected by that, you know, either directly or indirectly. You just constantly hear about it. So I've looked at two particular programs that I'm looking to donate the money to, in hopes that we can kind of offer some different resources and alternatives for the youth in our city. You know, Philadelphia has such, you know, the next generation of children and young people coming into this, you know, adult-like world. You know, I want to give them something that can inspire them. And with all the things we've experienced in the last 2 years, I believe that, you know, me as a mom, I have a 16-year-old son. you know, they see the world a lot different in what they're able to do. And I hope to provide resources and invest in something similar to like Jose is doing, investing in someone like me. And in turn, I'm going to give back to my community and invest in the future youth leaders of our city.
That is that's great, because even Don knows, and I mean, I'm born and bred from Philadelphia. This is reminiscent of sort of the late 70s, early 80s, this sort of crime and gun violence that's going on Don. I mean, it's sort of like we've stepped back in time.
Yeah. Younger, growing up in Southwest Philadelphia, we always had that crime element, but back then we had more of the other old heads, we used to call them. They used to stand on the corner and make sure that we policed ourselves, basically. And for you to be able to do that and contribute to your community again, really brings back a lot of memories of the, I mean, you're not going to stand on the corner, but
you never know. Jennifer just might. she'll be yelling at you.
I'm not afraid to do that. And if that's what it takes, I feel like that's it. That is actually what it takes, right? Is we can only sit around so long wondering when, you know, the city and the politicians are going to do something about it, right? Like, who's going to come clean up my street when my trash isn't picked up? It, you know, the answers are you. Yes. We are. So it's important that all of us can do a little bit of something. And, you know, there's a big problem, and I'm a little tiny solution, but that can, you know, hopefully spread to someone else who is inspired by that and wants to do something. We can't put all our eggs in one basket, and the mayor and the city and city council, you know, we all have to do our part too. So
exactly.
I feel like with Jose Garces, I feel like giving me this opportunity can only inspire other people to want to do that as well.
That's great. And like they say, I mean, progress starts with only one step forward at a time, and you're obviously going in the right direction, and hopefully the city will be too, with the mentality that you have, and you'll be able to share that sort of spirit and mentality with others and get a movement going, because that's truly what we need. It was sort of a movement in the mid-90s that turned Philadelphia around into the thriving economic powerhouse that the downtown areas and Center City District and things like that truly became and thrived for over 20 years. So we did do well. We can do it again. And we're happy to have people that have actually come from outside of the city to have that desire as well. Because me and Don, being from the city, we've seen it. We've been through it already. And it's a welcome change to have other people want that too. But on a happier note, the amount of people that you've cooked for and earned the respect of, cooking in the kitchens of people like Ozzy Osbourne, Britney Spears, Iron Maiden, Snoop Dogg. It has to be, sometimes you have to be nervous, especially if one of these individuals is an icon or someone that you've respected through the years. Has there been any of the ones that we've mentioned or one that we haven't mentioned that you were really excited and overjoyed to be able to cook for throughout the years?
Yes. So actually recently, and I did it with Barbie Marshall, actually, we cooked for the Rolling Stones.
Oh, look at that.
That was crazy. You know, they have a tradition of like the shepherd's pie that they eat before like every show. And I got to make the potatoes for it. Like I got to get my hands on it. And, just knowing that I was doing that was absolutely, I don't get shook very easy, but I was extremely shook. And with Barbie next to me, it's easy to get through that shookness and just get on with it. But I would definitely say the Rolling Stones and the Philadelphia Eagles. I think I blacked out the whole time. I can't remember the whole moment, but I was, I'm a big, big, big Eagles fan. So the fact that I could even touch a piece of foil to do anything for them was huge. And the same with the Rolling Stones. Like that's just rock and roll history. That's just everything. So yeah, those two times in my life, it was the only time I was probably ever really, really, really shook.
I love hearing that. Now, from someone who did not grow up and raised in Philadelphia, I always like asking these questions to people who didn't grow up here. What was the one thing that you thought Philadelphians were absolutely crazy when you finally moved down here? And what was one thing that you quickly fell in love with Philadelphia once you came?
Okay. I actually just said this today to my Uber driver because there was a St. Patty's Day parade happening around the city today. And, you know, the love the city has for partying in the street is unmatched, I would say.
We do love to party in the street, especially Second Street after New Year's.
Right. So when the year I moved here, the Phillies won. So that was my introduction to see. And then, you know, obviously getting to experience the Mummers at the, you know, I got to take full advantage of living in South Philly when the Mummers Parade came down to South Broad Street. Like, it changed everything for me. The first time in my whole life I've ever seen old women out there with pots and pans just beating the living crap out of them for any celebratory reason whatsoever was like, this place is crazy. Like, I love it. I just appreciate it so much. They go hard. Philadelphia will chew you up, spit you out, pick you back up and do it all over again with complete love. And I really, really like that about the city.
I love hearing that. Don't you, Dot?
Also, we have an invitation. If you ever want to march in a parade, you can always march with Cahill's NYA.
Look at that, Don, throwing out the invitation.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I've made it. I've been asked to march. I've made it. Let me give
them
golden slippers and put me on that street. I'm ready to go.
That is amazing. I love it, Don. Way to go. Well, Chef Jennifer, it was such a pleasure talking to you. I mean, my goodness gracious, someone of your caliber, as we mentioned, cooking for Ozzy Osbourne, Britney Spears, Iron Maiden, Snoop Dogg. As you just mentioned, one of your highlights was cooking for the Rolling Stones. You're involved in so many things. Best chef named by Philadelphia Magazine, Philly Current Magazine, so many awards and accolades. And now here we go. Your latest adventure is at the Kimmel Cultural Campus for the Garces' group, Volvere, as chefs in residency program from March 16th to May 1st. Thank you so much for joining us. Please share a website, social media, or anything like that before you go.
Sure. Everyone can follow me on Juana Tamale on Instagram and, you know, always come down to 1941 East Passyunk.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Yeah, have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
No problem. Now, talking about all sorts of great things, one great thing to another, Don, you were just mentioning of how great and in the mood you were for a burger after looking and seeing our next guest. And I was mentioning to you how I've enjoyed many burgers at their location, and that would be Wayback Burgers. We're going to talk to their president, Patrick Conlon. How's it going tonight, Patrick?
Good, Derek. Thanks for having me.
It is our pleasure. Now, you guys, I mean, talk about on fire. You're known as America's favorite hometown burger joint, and you're one of the nation's fastest growing burger franchises. You, my friend, you've had sales increases of 26% over the last 12 months. You've awarded 124 new franchise agreements worldwide. It goes on and on and on. But before we get to all of that, why don't we get what and how Wayback Burgers was started for anyone who's not familiar with the franchise?
Sure. Wayback started in 1991 in Newark, Delaware, as really just a roadside hamburger shack or stand. And there were about six or seven of them. And the original founder wanted to go into franchising, and he brought in a couple of equity partners. And about 2008, began franchising and moved the headquarters to Cheshire, Connecticut. And it went from what originally was called Jake's Hamburgers. And then we went from Jake's Hamburgers to Jake's Wayback Burgers. And now we're just Wayback Burgers. And we've grown to about 166 locations in the United States and internationally. And as a matter of fact, this past Friday, we just opened up our first Wayback Burgers in Japan and just outside of Tokyo.
That is great news. And I can't speak for every location in Japan, but I have to say I'm happy that you opened up in Japan, because when I was there many years ago, I possibly had one of the worst burgers I ever had in the world. I don't know where I was. No, you weren't there then, unfortunately. You just needed to be there about 15 years ago when I visited. But my wife at the time, she said, you know what? I said, of all places, why are we getting a burger in Japan? And that was the one and only time we had anything Americanized. We just stuck with all Japanese food after that. And it was one of the greatest trips of our life. But I have to say, it was one of the worst burgers we ever had. So you're going to do well there, my friend, because once they have a taste of your Wayback Burgers, there's going to be no turning back for that crowd. But
glad to hear it.
You guys, one of the things that really has put you on the map is the popular seasonal limited time only menu items that you guys have continually put out. I'll name just a few: the Impossible Melt, the Fiery Bacon Burger, Bourbon Bacon Burger, Brownie Milkshake, Pumpkin Caramel Milkshake. List goes on and on and on. Where does these ideas come from? Because I personally like the way that you guys are innovating and putting out fresh products and things like that, because a lot of burger joints, whether it's a fast casual or a full-blown chain or even a neighborhood place, it seems as though it's just sort of like, all right, well, we put the burger on the grill and you can have a couple toppings and then that's it. It's not staying fresh. How did the seasonal limited time only menu items come about? Because I think that's a great idea for your brand.
Well, we have, it's between our marketing department. We have an outside consulting firm, and then everybody that works internally and our franchisees come up with ideas collectively. And what we've looked for is what is on trend in the food service industry and what customers are looking for in flavor profile. And we don't look to be trendy, if this makes sense, but we look to be on trend. We don't want to be that shooting star. And you know, what's more on trend or timeless than a cheeseburger? So, but we like to add different things to the cheeseburger or hamburger, and our side items. And one of our big menu staples are our hand dipped milkshakes, made the old fashioned way, real ice cream scooped out of a tub and put on a 3-spindle mixing machine. So the items, you know, our outside consultant will come to us, and he's a really like an outside chef, and he'll come to us with ideas from his test kitchen. And then we have to make sure that we can get the product operationally. It makes sense. It's not going to complicate the operation. And then we run it through. We have a couple of different committees with franchisees, an operational committee, a marketing committee, and then a national franchisee advisory council. And with their advice, then we'll decide to move forward or not move forward with those limited time offers. And one that we're doing now, that we did a couple of years ago, or actually we're voting on now, is we're partnered up with our national charity that we support, is the Boys and Girls Club of America. And a couple of years ago, we did a shake naming contest with them that we thought would be a fun thing for the kids, where we tasked the clubs around the country to come up with names of shakes, recipes of shakes, and give them a name, and also come to us with what their reasoning was. So we had about 300, 400 entries a couple of years ago, and then it became a limited time offer shake across the U.S. in all of our restaurants. And the winning shake was a caramel cinnamon toast crunch milkshake that a lot of our franchisees still sell. because it did so well. And but some of the entries from the kids were pretty funny, and the one that always sticks out in my mind was a chicken tender and vanilla milk. It was not the winner, but it was chicken tenders mixed into a vanilla milkshake, and their reasoning, and these are, you know, could be anywhere from 8-year-old kids to, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids, was we like vanilla milkshakes and we like chicken tenders. So we thought that was pretty funny. So we're in the midst of doing that contest again, and we have three finalists, an old-fashioned milkshake, which is a glazed or an old-fashioned donut mixed into a milkshake. A rainbow shake, which is like a birthday shake, and a cookie monster shake, which is a shake with cookie dough in it. So the public is now voting on that to see which one will be the winner, and that'll go on our menus in the summertime.
I love that. That's such a creative idea. And one of the things that I'm sure you've seen through this process is when you work with kids, the imagination is just endless. Yeah. The ideas that they come up with. And it's like, first you kick yourself. You're like, why didn't I think of that? And then the second thing is you're probably thinking, like, I've got a full-blown staffed and paid-for R&D department and all these franchisees. And these kids are coming up with some better ideas. So sometimes it's amazing what some of these kids do.
Most of the kids have a clear mind.
Yeah.
Their imagination is so open that, you know, it's not clouded by watching. You know,
they're not worried about what their boss will tell them. Somebody might be like, man, I would love to do this, but I don't want to be embarrassed if everybody else thinks it's a bad idea.
No, they did a great job. And some of the crazy ones this time around, I guess bacon must be on everybody's mind. So there was a lot of entries with bacon in the milkshake, bacon fat, bacon grease in the milkshake. But that's where we kind of draw the line. We have to. The ideas are great, and the winning club, the club that the public votes on for the winning shake, they get a $10,000 prize. So it's all for a good cause, and it's fun. And and it's just, it's just a fun time involving the kids across the country in the contest.
That's great. Now, obviously, being the president, you've probably had more burgers than you wish to admit that you've eaten. And you've probably even lied to your doctor and said, no, I don't eat it that much. But you personally, what is the best Wayback Burger to have? When you go to a Wayback Burger, what's that go-to menu item that you're going to personally?
For me, it's the Wayback Classic right now, if I'm in the mood for a burger. Otherwise, I also, we have, even though we're Wayback Burgers, we have a little bit more diverse menu than some of the competitors in the better burger segment. So we do a great Philadelphia cheesesteak, and that happens to be one of my favorites. So if I'm trading off from a burger, then I'll flip over to the Philly cheesesteak with jalapeno peppers.
Yeah, I mean, that
sounds good.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that. And I have to tell you too, I've been to your Wayback Burger location in Voorhees, New Jersey, and I'm going to give this individual credit. I don't know who runs the place. It was my first time there. They're directly across from a major hospital, Virtua. You know, Don, it's right on 73, and they had EMS people come in, and they have the nurses, and we're talking, and this was Corona is going on. These people are stressed, overworked. They took care of all of the health and medical professionals. They were coming in. There was no wait whatsoever. I heard the gentleman who obviously was the manager or something, knowing everyone by name. Everyone that was coming in was so happy. And I know that when I saw all the medical professionals, it had to be a weight relieved from themselves that at least that break of their day, they were able to have a smile on their face, feel welcomed, and have a decent meal. So kudos to the location in Voorhees. It was a short interaction I had there, but they were doing a great job, especially with everyone that they dealt with. And the meal I had was good as well. So it was a good time, but had by all.
Yeah, is that franchisee, the owner-operator, his name is AJ, and he's been there probably for almost 5 years. And nice guy. He just finished renovating the interior of the restaurant just in the last couple of months, and he's doing a great job. And as a whole, you know, you mentioned the sales increases when we first started our conversation, and the credit really goes to all the franchisees across the country. Especially it's difficult to run a restaurant, and the last couple of years has been even more difficult with supply shortages and labor shortages and increase in prices, and the fact that that they've done it during a unprecedented pandemic, and still continued serving the guests and doing it friendly, and to achieve the sales increases that they've been able to achieve is just a testament to their passion for the brand and the way that they go about their business each and every day.
And obviously, I mean, it comes downhill as well. So obviously, individuals such as yourself and upper management and those below you are sending out the correct message and also the directions and the positive feedback in order to make these franchises successful. So congratulations to everyone involved, but also forward thinking in your organization goes because you've partnered with Reef Kitchens and you operate 25 ghost kitchens within major cities throughout the United States. And this is a huge trend as well, where Ghost Kitchens, South Jersey, just opened one, Foodie Hall, I believe it's called, where there's going to be 25 things right in one location. So you have your hand on the pulse of exactly what the consumers are looking for. How were you able to move so quickly with this sort of project?
Well, they came to us probably early part of 2021, second quarter, and contacted us about getting involved with them. And we had heard of them, and then we, together, our organization and their organization worked together, and I'm sure that they read some things about us, and we have had previously partnered, our franchisees have partnered up with all the major third-party delivery companies, the DoorDash, the Uber Eats, and the Grubhubs. And on their own, you know, or through our national programs. And Reef came to us, and we saw a fit between the two companies. And we launched the first kitchen in Philadelphia, first test kitchen in Philadelphia, I believe, in July.
That's great.
And it went over so well that we kept adding, and now we're in still, you know, pretty much that mid-Atlantic, Philadelphia, Baltimore, D.C., and we have more approved locations in the Texas area and also in and around Chicago. And it's nice for us because a lot of them are, or the majority of them are in cities where we really don't have a footprint in major downtown areas, and that's a lot of where they're located. So as hopefully as people get back to work in their offices, that business will only take off even further with the Reef Kitchens and the areas that they have.
That's great. And obviously, like you said, I mean, you're going in the direction of what the consumers are looking for. You've been very successful. What do you imagine 2022, 2023, so forth and so on will bring? What's your game plan for the future of Wayback Burgers and what you guys are going to do?
Well, this year on the restaurant, on the development side, we probably will be opening about 15 to 20 locations across the U.S. excuse me, that are in the construction phase now, and we have another 20 to 25 franchisees looking for that are in the real estate process, looking for sites. So the next 2 years, and you know, we're keeping our pipeline full because we're a franchise organization. We'll continue to have development across the U.S. and we're staying with our same footprint for the restaurant, the size of the restaurant, because our business has really just exploded. So early on in the pandemic, it was funny. We talked and people came to us and said, well, maybe we should just, you know, cut down the size of the restaurants because people aren't eating in the restaurants. But we said, you know what, it's going to come back. And Americans are social people and want to eat out. And you can start seeing it now that as mask mandates drop off and people feel more comfortable and more safe eating in restaurants, that they're packed. So we're very happy that we didn't cut down the size of our prototype locations.
Definitely.
And we'll continue to, we're not, because we're made to order, we only have a couple of drive-through locations across the U.S., so it's not necessary for us to look for locations with drive-through windows, because as a fresh made-to-order burger or chicken sandwich and fries, they're not sitting under a heat lamp. So our ticket time is probably 6 to 8 minutes. So it's a little bit difficult to do that in a drive-through. Well, franchisees that have them do a great job, but not necessary for us to be successful with a drive-through window.
Now
the biggest thing. Go ahead.
Now, also, as you were saying, having all of these options shows that you're able to pivot immediately for what someone needs.
Yeah. We were able to, I mean, prior to the pandemic, we had the delivery set up already. So, and we've had online ordering through a desktop or a mobile device prior to the pandemic. So we weren't playing catch up when the pandemic hit. Those systems and platforms were already in place. Now the next thing is for us, you said forward thinking, is what's the next thing that the consumer is going to be looking for? I don't believe that we as a company don't believe that delivery is going away. Once we call it the Amazon effect on the restaurant industry. Amazon really hurt brick and mortar businesses because you could sit on your couch and order anything from dog biscuits to car tires. And when I was growing up, the only restaurant that you could get delivery from was a pizza place or a Chinese place. Those were the only traditional places that delivered food. With the third-party deliveries, you can get anything from pizza, burgers, to a high-end steakhouse, and everything in between. So, and once that people get used to that, and they get home from work, or they don't feel like cooking, and they're at home, and they don't feel like going out, they, with a couple of clicks, just like Amazon, they can get food delivered in 20 to 30 minutes. So delivery is not going away. And we're very happy that we're able to capture that part of what the consumer wants.
Patrick, I have to tell you, you guys certainly have the recipe for success. The service is there, quality product, changing the menu, collaborating with nonprofit organizations. I love how you have the kids involved to have some new menu creations. And we wish you nothing but continued success. And your growth is only going to continue with what you have all put out. But Patrick Connellan, the president of Wayback Burgers, thank you so much for joining us. As you've mentioned, I mean, listen to this stat alone, Don. They are in 34 states and over 166 locations nationally and internationally. That right there shows you what you're doing. Please share a social media website or anything like that before you go.
Yep. Our website is waybackburgers.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram. And if you're in the neighborhood and there's a Wayback Burgers, stop in by all means and get my favorite, the Wayback Classic, and an Oreo mint milkshake and tater tot.
Will do. Thanks so much. Have a great night.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
No problem. Now, we joined one great product to the next. And I have to tell you, Don, I was impressed with this product. Even you, as soon as you saw the samples that we've been able to have and things like this, Hero Bread. Great.
Yeah. Well, like I said, the good bread makes a sandwich.
Without a doubt. Without the bread, it's just meat.
So it is.
It's pretty much just a board of meat. And it's so important. But what they have been able to do is fill that segment of bread when it comes to having delicious, low net carb, zero sugar bread, and it's packed with protein. And we're lucky enough to talk to the founder of this product, Cole Glass. How's it going tonight, Cole?
Doing excellent. You did a great job pitching. I'm not going to have to pitch it to anybody else.
Well, I think you certainly pitched it properly, because by the sounds of it, from what we hear, you've already pitched it and you're in some Subway locations. You had to be thrilled when you inked that deal, because first thing that anybody thinks of when you go to Subway is a sandwich, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
And great bread.
I haven't asked the CEO this question personally, but I'm pretty sure they pumped some kind of bread perfume through the air ducts, because you smell the bread. The first thing that you walk in and get into a Subway is you think about, all right, what bread am I going to get? And then you get your sandwich. And for us, you know, I'll tell you the origin story as quickly as I can about how Hero happened. But to have this realized as a product in hundreds and soon to be even more Subway locations around the country, where you can walk in as a consumer and get the Hero bread and then get whatever it is that your favorite sandwich is and have something that's one net carb per serving. And as you said, packed with protein, packed with fiber, significantly reduced calories. And it really looks, tastes, smells, and feels exactly the same. It's supposed to be a wow experience for a consumer for a reason, and we've had that kind of success because consumers have felt that way.
Now, as you said, this is a success, a wildly successful success. People love it. The reviews are great. The product is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But tell us a little bit about your personal story. How did we get to Hero Bread? How was it created? The reason why? What did you do before starting Hero?
Oh, my goodness. Well, the full version would take about 45 minutes of our time, so I'm going to try and do it in 2 to 3. I never thought that I was going to be making bread for a living. To be honest, my passion was sending things into space. And I'd actually never baked a normal loaf of bread with normal flour in my life to this day. My background is more in engineering. I've worked at NASA, SpaceX, and then out here in Silicon Valley at Apple. But I have a rare, severe set of food allergies. So I'm allergic to all raw fruits and vegetables and nuts. Imagine a life where you can't eat a salad or a bowl of fruit or a handful of almonds. I have the worst diet known to mankind. I can only eat the unhealthy stuff. You know, my friends all call it the gas station diet because it's the only place that's safe for me. Growing up as a kid, it was great to be able to eat those things. I couldn't eat the plate of carrot and celery sticks that the moms would try and offer me. And I'd say, no, you literally have to give me another cookie because I'd be allergic to the other thing. You'd have to EpiPen me. But as an adult, I knew that if I kept only eating protein, fat, and carbs, that I would have every health-related complication in the book. So back in 2017, I thought, all right, I have three things I can eat. What if I try cutting out one of those and see if I could get healthier? So I cut the carbs. I went keto. And like most people who go keto, I started missing bread. I missed muffins and cookies and waffles and all the good things. And I started looking around in the market to see if there was anything that was low carb, low net carb that, you know, could replace it well enough. And I found that most things were made with almond flour, coconut flour, or cauliflower. And I'm super allergic to all that. So I was kind of faced between a personal rock and a hard place of, do I give up foods that are made with flour forever? Or do I try and reinvent flour from the ground up with a set of ingredients that I'm not allergic to that could satisfy the nutritional constraints of trying to cut out those net carbs? And every single day for 2 years in my apartment kitchen in San Francisco, I made at least 100 muffins a day. with every combination of proteins and fibers, liquids, fats, leavening agents, binding agents, anything I could get my hands on, you name it, Amazon, Whole Foods, GNC, eventually bulk suppliers. And 2 years and 15,000 meticulously documented experiments later, I figured it out and then had it verified that I had something unique by one of the top independent food labs in the country, and found that a lot of people in Silicon Valley and elsewhere that are big in food or in tech or in the kind of celebrity influencer world were interested in coming along as a journey and making it into a company. And so to this day, every morning I wake up shocked and humbled that it became what it is. And now you can go into a Subway and buy it. I was just making muffins in my kitchen because I was allergic to everything else. But really, we found that we can do pretty much everything that you could do with normal flour, but with taking out the net carbs and the sugar. So imagine not only bread, but tortillas, pizza crusts, burger buns, muffins, cookies, waffles, cakes, pasta, chips, rice, croissants, donuts, bagels. The list goes on and on. But we started with Subway in a beautiful partnership that is, as I said earlier, just on its way to the expansion.
I have to tell you, sir, it's not often in my life that I'm speechless. But you are a genius. Good golly. Thank that you. Is one hell of a story. I mean, to go from the industries that you worked in, let alone, I mean, it's like, you want to say somebody like, oh, you created this. What are you, a rocket scientist? Like, yeah, indeed I am, sir. But, I mean, that is amazing. Don, I mean,
I'm amazed.
I sure hope you've inked a deal for the story of your life. Good golly.
We'll see what kind of Netflix series or feature film ends up coming of it. We've got a lot of dream left to turn into reality. But really the goal with Hero, you see products out there that are low net carb, or, you know, you get your burger on a lettuce wrap or things like that. This isn't about just being on diet. This isn't just about being Atkins or keto or coming from a necessity if you're diabetic. Of course, it fits all those use cases. But this is letting everybody eat what they love and be free to just be free from the guilt, be free from the worry, and enjoy it the exact same way that you would enjoy normal bread, because it tastes the same. It just happens to have all these nutritional benefits. So, yeah, there's a lot of the story left to be written, but the origin is pretty crazy, even to me.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to, like you said, a Netflix series of it. Just, I'll write it up for it if you want. I mean, I've got a million ideas in my head of just like you said, just your childhood alone, the agony and the pain that your parents must have had seeing you when you were eating these foods. Oh, yeah. And what they must have felt inside until they found the doctors who could pinpoint this and put you and your family in the right direction so you didn't have to suffer the way that you did in your childhood, and then move along into your teenage years and college and coming into NASA and SpaceX and all of this, and that eureka moment of like, let's get crap going. I mean, I want to start cursing on this program, but let's get this moving, and we're going to start revolutionizing and breaking it into scientific formulas and what we're going to do with carbs and things of this nature. I mean, congratulations to you. Great job. What are the plans to work with other food service, grocery, or retail products? Are there other plans to launch other products?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that list that I was rattling off, which sounds like I've said it quite a few times because I have, luckily, you know, everything is on the table. And we are thrilled to continue to put our heads down and move forward with Subway and keep building on the momentum that we have there. But we're going to be launching our direct-to-consumer website. It'll be on hero.co. .com was a little pricey back in the day, so hero.co. But we're gonna start by selling sliced white bread. And that's going to launch here in about 4 weeks. And then we'll follow that up with some sandwich rolls and some tortillas and some very exciting other products that will come after. But we're actively in discussions for many other possible food service opportunities and following that up with grocery and retail, hopefully before the end of this year. But it's about going from my apartment to then a big office in San Francisco to then making millions of these things at a time over at, you know, giant bread production and co-manufacturing facilities.
Without a doubt.
We're ready.
And then, as you mentioned, to not only come out that way, but to have such high-profile investors that any entrepreneur or inventor would die for just to have even one of them mentioned. I mean, right. From Tom Brady to Kevin Durant and his 35 ventures, The Weeknd, Lil Baby, the mm-hmm. list goes on and on. And I think it's a testament to how revolutionary this product is, and they obviously have faith. Just like Don, I feel like writing this man a check right now. I mean, day late, dollar short for this product.
Yeah, receiving a text from Tom Brady after he's taken a bite of some of your bread is an experience that any human would pretty much faint over. Let me tell you. And we've just been blessed. You know, it's a very straightforward thing to understand, but a nearly impossible thing to achieve. And we're in the business of making the impossible possible. And all those folks that you mentioned, they believe in this dream and in this product. It's not just about, oh, we see dollar signs and this is an obvious thing. But for someone like Tom, as an example, you know, the moment that we sat down to dinner together and he tried the products, he's like, wait, you know my diet. You know everything about TB12. So Giselle and I hold our kids to that standard too. You're telling me that I can make French toast for my kids on the weekend? And I was like, yeah, and have a pizza party with them too. And he said, this is revolutionary. You know, it's something that.
Did he take off all of his really Super Bowl rings and just hand them to you and say, thank you?
I wish. His hands are like 10 times bigger than mine, so I don't know if they would have fit on my fingers. But it's something that they all not only are great investors in, but something that they naturally endorse and something that they, it helps them perform better. You know, in Tom's case, it's very clear with athletics, same with Kevin. Take other celebrities and music artists like The Weeknd. It's something that helps when they're on the road and they're on tour, and you need the best fuel possible. Well, and the quickest fuel is when you eat carbs and sugar, but the best fuel is when you're having protein, fiber, and fat, and the things that are going to last longer and not weigh you down with that kind of carb hangover afterward.
Definitely. But Cole Glass, the founder and creator of Hero Bread, truly, thank you for joining us. It was such a pleasure. I mean, that was wild, Don.
Not mouth dropping.
I enjoyed it.
On your success.
And please keep us posted, updated, anything of any new news updates or anything. We're excited for your product and anything that you've got going on. You've got a believer in us as well. Cole Glass, the founder of Hero Bread. Feel free to share a website, social media, or anything like that before you go, pal.
Yeah, totally. So website is hero.co, that's C-O, and on Twitter and on Instagram, we're just Hero, so you can find us at Hero.
Thank you so much.
And thank you both again. Look forward to sharing more updates with you.
Thanks. Have a great night. Bye-bye. I mean, good.
Wow. All right, y'all too. Bye.
That's all you can say, Don, as well.
Yeah. That's, yeah. Being diabetic, I think that's a great great thing. You enjoy sandwiches you never thought you could.
Yeah. I mean, the possibilities are endless. The science and the technology that's gone into it, I mean, amazing. But another amazing thing before we go, unfortunately, we have a little bit of time, but by goodness, Barbie, we had such a packed show. I have to apologize. We had a rocket scientist on with us.
I'll just give you a quick small bite, okay?
There you go.
A quick small bite for Philadelphia is Tavern on Comex. Grilled cheese and tomato soup because it got chili and it's perfectly dippable. It's the best small bite that you're going to get, especially on a cold Sunday night if you're going out.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that. And you were talked about earlier in the show, your friend Chef Jeff Zavala was giving us stories about when you both cooked together for the Rolling Stones. So you're going to have to next time we're going to have to maybe elaborate a little bit further into that shepherd's pie.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we made shepherd's pie.
So.
Okay, next time.
Really. Next
cause,
time.
Cause I know the time.
And make sure you tell Jen it was such a pleasure talking to her. We had a blast with Chef Jen. But thank you so much, Chef Barbie. Give your website and social media before you go real quick.
Okay, I am Chef Barbie Marshall on social media. Everything is kind of low right now because I had to start over, remember? And you can find me.
There you go. We'll find you.
Just Chef Barbie Marshall, Instagram and Facebook.
Perfect. Thanks so much. All right, Don.
Yep, Donato Marino, D&L Coffee Service. You can find me on Facebook, or you can give us a call directly at 215-365-5521.
Awesome. I'm Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com. This is Small Bites on Wildfire Radio. Google us. You'll find us. We'll end the show like we always do with a joke of the week from the legendary joke teller, Jackie the Joke Man Martling.
Hi, I'm Jackie Martling, and this is Small Bites. A lady comes home after visiting relatives for a few weeks and finds her husband was too lazy to go to the supermarket and ate all the dog food in the house. She calls the doctor and says, "Doc, you got to do something. My husband ate a half a case of dog food." Doc says, "Relax, ma'am. It can't hurt him. Nothing to worry about." Next day, she calls back the doctor and says, "Nothing to worry about, eh, Doc? Well, I hope you're happy. My husband's dead." "He's dead? From eating dog food? I can't understand it. What happened?" "She says he was lying in the driveway licking himself and I backed the car over him." You want a joke every day at 4:20 p.m.? Yes. Just follow me on Twitter at Jackie Martling, J-A-C-K-I-E-M-A-R-T-L-I-N-G. And I was here for some more bites.